As I was saying, yes, Pia is a wonderful, wonderful person. It's just a shame that that jail time. You know, it's a. Oh, are we recording now? I had no idea.
Yes,
oh,
yeah, we
no,
are, yes,
James, I didn't. Why are you talking about Pia and the goat? I mean, really, we're on the air.
She
this
has
terrible.
Such great stories about those prison shower rooms. I mean,
yeah, luckily nobody is listening to this, so we don't have to worry.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody's recording, right, Pia?
Nope. Especially not me. No, it's okay. People make fun of me all the time. I do.
No way. Nobody's going to make fun of you, not while the Toxic Avenger is around.
Welcome to Simply Radio. I am Pia. I'm sitting in for Mike Shelton. And today's guest is Lloyd Kaufman of Trauma Entertainment. Welcome to Simply Radio.
Well, thank you, Pia. You are the nicest person in the world, other than Phil Clark and James.
Well, thank you.
We're here.
Well, you have a long career in the film business. Do you want to tell us about how you get started and everything you've done and what you're doing now?
Well, it all began, I made a big mistake of going to Yale University. I was going to be a teacher. It was the 60s. I was going to make the world a better place, like being a social worker or a teacher. I was going to teach people with hooks for hands how to finger paint, teach bums how to paint happy faces on beads. But tragically, at Yale University, I was put in a room. My roommate was a film nut. He was a film fanatic and ran the Yale Film Society, and my life was ruined. Our beds were in a very small bedroom, and our beds were head to toe, and at night I would inhale his Godard stinking feet, and the aroma du trauma was born. I kept going into the Yale Film Society and watching all these movies, like John Ford movies, Howard Hawks, Fritz Lang, Leni Riefenstahl, all of the movies kept blowing my mind. Stan Brakhage, Andy Warhol, and eventually I bought into the auteur theory of filmmaking, which is that the director, this was propounded by the French Cinémathèque people, in the Cahiers du Cinéma, the magazine that they published, written by Chabrol and Truffaut and those guys, and I bought into all that foolishness and stayed in New York and made independent movies with nobody telling me what to do, and now I have the pleasure of living in a refrigerator box on the streets. No money, no revenue. Only Pia respects me. You're the only one. Totally ignored.
And I do.
Cast aside.
The
people who work at Trauma, they say if I get hit by a bus, then if I die, then suddenly the world will realize that Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead, is a masterpiece. Well, it's my foul movement.
Well, that one did pretty well, though, Poultrygeist, didn't it?
Well, if you think that doing well is getting not 1 cent of the budget back, I guess it did. It had sort of a perfect record in a way, yes. Not one penny of the budget has come back to us. That's called economic blacklisting, Phil Clark and James. James, what's your last name?
McClung.
McClung, you guys know about that, economic blacklisting. You know there's a cartel that controls the media in the world. It's a worldwide conspiracy, and you get Iron Man on 6,000 million screens, and you don't get Poultrygeist anywhere, right? That's not the way it was when Razorback was going on, when Razorback was made, or when Don's Party was made. There was something called competition. There was competition permitted, so if you had something good that was independent, you could get it to the public. Now, impossible. But luckily for Australia and New Zealand, a company called Jigsaw is going to try to relaunch the Trauma brand in Australia and New Zealand. And I'll be going there. I'll be going there toward the end of August. No, toward the end of... No, in October. Sorry, in October. I think kind of mid-October. And I'll hang out at Armageddon, which is a wonderful convention, a big pop culture, comic book, horror convention in both. And it takes place, I believe, in Melbourne, Sydney, and Auckland. I should say Auckland first because that's A. A should come first.
But you have.
Well, you said that you couldn't get into the movie theaters. What about the home market?
We got into about 300 movie theaters. We got into about 300. The problem is when Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead, which received very good reviews in the New York Times and Entertainment Weekly and I believe pretty much every publication, it was when it opened in New York, it was the highest grossing screen in the country, only in one theater, though. But that one theater was had the biggest gross of America. The highest, it made the most money for one weekend. But the problem is, then the 2 weeks later, Indiana Jones, Skull I guess you can't say the word, it wanted every screen. They had to have every screen in the world for that movie, even though it sucked. So they kicked out Poultrygeist. So as a result, we couldn't get along. That's the problem. The theaters are the vassals of the giant devil-worshipping media conglomerates. And poor little Troma gets kicked out. Luckily, we have fans who, just as you said, the fans spread the word, and then our movies are at least, because we do our own home video distribution, our fans help us out. But I can tell you that Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead, my greatest movie, 40 years of failed filmmaking, has not yet returned 1 cent of the budget.
So what you're saying then is that it's pretty much impossible to get on the big screen if you're an independent, even if you have a good film, good quality film.
Well, you can get on the big screen. If I direct a movie, I can get on about 300 American screens. But even if the movie does well, the theaters will take it away because Disney or Fox or Rupert Murdoch or one of the giant conglomerates has a movie that isn't doing well that wants the screen, and it doesn't matter how well you're doing. The theater will kowtow to the big conglomerate because they know that if they don't keep Step Up the Music, Step Up the Streets Part 2, which is a big nobody was in the theater, at least when I was there. They'll hold that movie in the theater for a third week, but then they'll kick Poultrygeist out of that same theater, even though we were doing good business. Six screens. If there's six screens and Poultrygeist is one or two, they'll kick out Poultrygeist, even though it's doing better than Step Up the Streets, because that's how it works. Very bad. Very, very bad. The only way these independent movies get in any kind of decent distribution is because of the they are being distributed by Sony Classics or Fox Searchlight or Village Roadshow, part of Warner Brothers.
But isn't, like, straight-to-video markets, is that enough to keep an independent
company? Because the straight-to-video markets has been taken over by the giant devil-worshipping internet, at least in my country. I don't know how it is in Australia, because we haven't had any distribution in Australia or New Zealand for a long time. Only now, Jigsaw is relaunching Troma in New Zealand and Australia. So thank the good Lord for Jigsaw.
But your films are available on Netflix and Hulu and those types of, where anybody can watch them at any time. Is it hard to get on those too?
No, because they don't pay you any money. Basically, we do that for our fans. That's only out of respect for our fans who have kept Troma alive for 40 years. So rather than take the crappy television deals that we've been offered, which are basically no television deals, we gave Poultrygeist, we premiered it on American TV on Hulu for free, rather than take a crappy deal.
We have to sit and watch through the commercials on Hulu for nothing then.
Pretty much.
It's not helping you, you know.
Probably not. It's helping our fans, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, you have a lot of fans around the world, right?
That's the only reason we're around. Troma is, there's something called word of mouth. In the case of Poultrygeist, it's a word of beak. But that is what keeps us going. The fans spread the word, And Troma has a website, troma.com, with a store, and people go there and buy our movies, or they buy them off Amazon, but they don't get them from Walmart. They don't get them. We've never had a movie in Blockbuster, not even South Park, not even the Cannibal the Musical by the South Park Boys, which has been a huge success on home video. Not even Citizen Toxie, the fourth Toxic Avenger movie in the United States, probably sold 300,000 home videos and yet has never been on American television. That is economic blacklisting.
It kind of sounds like it, doesn't it?
It is, absolutely. And, the proof of the pudding, as we say, if you want to use a trite expression, is in the details. And tell me any other companies that have been around for 40 years. Tell me a movie studio that's independent that's been around for 5 years, at least in the United States of America. Are there any movie studios that have been around for 5 years? Lionsgate. Lionsgate is... It has a hot hand right now, and I don't even know if they've been around for 5 years, but they grew out of a series of bankrupt companies, and let's hope they can stay in business. They're doing a good job, but that's it. I don't know of any other independent movie studios that have been around more than 10 minutes, and we've been around 40 years. The only reason is that people like our movies, and our fans spread the word, and the internet has helped us. And we're staggering along, and I keep making movies. Troma Entertainment is the herpes of the film industry. We won't go away.
Last year, in 2009, became the chairman of the Independent Film and Television Alliance. So is that pretty much what their job is, to kind of fight against these conglomerates, as you say, for the independent filmmakers?
The Independent Film and Television Alliance, of which I am a chairman, I'm the elected chairman. I do not get paid. There is a staff who are very intelligent and hardworking. The idea of the Independent Film and Television Alliance is it's a trade association for the independent movie studio. Troma Entertainment is obviously a member, Roger Corman's company, the people who financed Lord of the Rings, the people who financed Million Dollar Baby. There's a movie out now called The Expendables, the company that put that together is a member. So it's a pretty much the Independent Film and Television Alliance, a.k.a. IFTA, I-F-T-A, is pretty much the ground zero of independent commerce, independent entertainment commerce. And the idea is the trade association does for its members what the members cannot do individually. So one of the things we do, and the reason I ran for this office, this unpaid office, is that I feel that the treasury of our trade association should be used to lobby in Washington to advocate for the rights of independent, to stop the monopolization and the cartelization of the media, to fight media consolidation in Washington, to fight against things like the death of net neutrality, the phone companies and the MPAA, which is the trade association of the big conglomerates, Paramount, Viacom, Sony, Rupert Murdoch. Although they want to get rid of net neutrality on the internet, they don't want the free, open, diverse internet that we currently have. Your podcast will if they have their way, your podcast, unless you have a lot of money, will be on the dirt road. And the Justin Bieber movie will be, and Disney and Paramount will have a superhighway. It'll be like the way the current entertainment industry is, with a small number of TV and media or companies. That's all you get. That's all you get. You get one or two newspapers, and that. And the internet's the last democratic medium, and there are billions and billions of dollars being put into getting rid of the democratic medium. They want to get rid of net neutrality, where your podcast has, if assuming that the public wants to hear it, has just as much right, just as much benefit, just as much advantage on the internet as does Walt Disney or Village Roadshow or Mel Gibson. So that's one of the things that I, as chairman of the IFTA, want to get our board and our members charged up about, but not all of them feel that way.
What's the criteria for independent filmmakers to become members?
They have to make movies, a certain number of independent movies, and distribute a certain number of and most of the members are, and they are 40%, 50% of IFT members are non-United States members. They have certain, there's a certain qualification. You have to have sold or distributed or be an agent for a certain number of movies. I think most of our members are agents. They represent movies and sell American movies to international markets, or they might be a Chinese company selling Chinese movies to international markets. And in some cases, like Troma, they make and find their little movie studios. There aren't actually too many movie studios, but Lionsgate is a member. You have to have a certain. I don't know exactly what. I don't remember what it is because we joined 30 years ago. The IFTA is now 30 years old.
Oh, okay, I didn't know.
But it's the equivalent of the Motion Picture Association of America. I'm sure there's one in Australia similar to that, where the Village Roadshows and the Hoyts or whatever, they all get together and trample on the rights of the public and the independent filmmakers. We have to fight against the cartel. There used to be rules, at least in the United States, protecting the public from monopoly. Those rules were done away with thanks to the Reagan, Nixon, Clinton axis. Each of those rules fell. So as a result, the major media own and control vertically integrated industry. And that's why Rupert Murdoch owns newspapers, TV stations, and the public is denied a lot of information as well as a lot of art, and we're fighting against that. At least I'm fighting against that, and I'm trying to get my colleagues at IFTA to understand that maybe they have to rattle the cage, and perhaps some of these conglomerates, even though maybe every once in a while they throw us a few breadcrumbs, the piece of driftwood upon which they are clinging is getting smaller and smaller, and they better throw off the yoke of oppression, or we are all going to be a squashed egg.
Well, I think most people would agree with you. I just personally did not realize that that's how it worked. And I find it kind of depressing. So
it's very depressing. It's extremely depressing.
What would you suggest for, let's say, somebody who made their own movie, financed it on their own, and that sort of thing? How should they go about trying to show it? Is it straight to DVD or put it on the internet? Is that the only way?
Well, the good news is that there is new technology. And once again, though, the big bad white boys are going to try to destroy the opportunities for the independent filmmaker to distribute his, her, or its movie. There is and should be a tsunami of self do-it-yourself movie productions and distribution, because the good news is that for the first time, the making of cinema has been democratized. When it's like the automobile industry, when cars first were invented, there was quite a number of years where you had to be very rich to own a car. And then comes Henry Ford, who figured out how to make cars for everybody so that anyone in the middle class or lower middle class could afford a car. That's happened with the movie industry. You can make movies now for nothing. So there's thousands of there are millions of movies being made, but there are thousands of really good ones. Unfortunately, we don't get to know about them. But assuming that the internet remains free and open and diverse, and assuming the internet remains as a level playing field, those of us who are making independent movies, those of us who are living within our means and not snorting cocaine and living on limos and the filth and disgusting behavior of the royalty in the upper echelons of the cinematic elite, those of us who are not giving quaaludes to 13-year-old children and then sodomizing them and then having Martin Scorsese and others suggest they deserve a pass, those of us who are not conducting our lives that way, we will have a chance. We will have a chance to make money. and we'll have a chance to overthrow the oppression of this media cartel. But if the phone companies and the giant media conglomerates get rid of the net neutrality, if they get rid of the democratic internet, I would guess where it will be over. It'll be over for you. It'll be over for me. It will not be over for Viacom or Village Roadshow. And if you like to have baby food 24/7, fine. You know, that's not to say the mainstream doesn't make good movies every once in a while. I saw a movie last night called Inception. I think it was a very low budget movie. It didn't look very expensive, but I think Leonard DiCaprio.
It was like a camera operation, I think, wasn't it? What's
that?
It was a single camera operation.
Right. The typical 3-point lighting, you know. but you know, so there's good stuff. But unfortunately, 99% of it is baby food, and you know, which is okay. But you can live on baby food, but it's very boring. And you know, there are many of them.
Do you think that having all of this equipment so readily available, do you think that's actually hurting the cause? I mean, cause, like you said, I mean, 30 years ago when you first started, it was you and probably two other independent companies in the United States, and now it's like I can go to Best Buy, drop $1,000, get a camera and a software, and I'm a filmmaker and I'm flooding YouTube with crap.
No, I disagree. Actually, you know, when I broke in, when I started making movies when I was at Yale, and in the early 70s, there were, at least in the United States, and I'm pretty sure because I used to go to the Cannes Film Festival, there were a myriad of small independent movie studios as well as distributors around the world making a good living and being able to get their art to the public. So there was competition because there were rules preventing monopoly. In the United States, for example, it was not legal for Rupert Murdoch to own movie theaters. It was not legal for Rupert Murdoch's network to own content that he was broadcasting. And it was there was also rules in the United States under which the networks were required to play a certain percentage of their broadcasting. They were required to buy that from independent sources. And in the 70s, at least in the United States, that was kind of a golden age of TV. We had black people, and abortion was discussed for the first time, and homosexuality was discussed in a positive way in terms of having rights, gay rights, things like that, powered by the independent artists. So there was more competition, there was more variety of art going to the public than now. Now the big good news is I think the voices, many, many, many voices will be heard. And indeed, you're right. You're very correct in that there is a lot of garbage. But the public's pretty smart. I mean, they do. How is Troma stay in business? When was the last time the New York Times wrote anything about Troma? You know, which we passed 35 years. There's never been an independent movie studio in the history of cinema that I know of that's been around for 35 years actually producing movies. And yet New York Times, nor did New York City. We've employed a lot of retarded people in our company, you know, who'd be on welfare. We pay real estate taxes. We own a building. We've made all these movies in New York. Do you think that that New York City even said one thing about Troma Entertainment? That's the problem. It's like Russia, where they take your passport away. You don't exist. But somehow the public finds us. Somehow you guys found us. Somehow people find our website, and they go and buy just enough so we can keep going, and they spread the word, and they help us out, and there are advertising budget. We have no money for advertising, so the fans and the word of mouth is very valuable, and it does work. I mean, the next book I've written six books or seven. I've written a bunch of books. One of which is called Direct Your Own Damn Movie, Produce Your Own Damn Movie. The next one is called Sell Your Own Damn Movie. And I'm going to talk a lot about new ways to distribute your movies now, thanks to new technology and how we and others are getting around the monopoly or cartel by new technology and word of mouth and giving away. There's nothing wrong with giving away your art. That's something. You know, all this bugaboo about piracy, that's baloney. The piracy thing is a smokescreen that the elite throws up to. That's what they're saying. Why they have to get rid of net neutrality, because there's all this piracy. They said the exact same thing about video cassettes, and then when they could, they took over the video cassette business and the DVD business, and they said that home video is going to ruin copyright law, that there would be no copyright law, that that their movies and libraries would become valueless because of home video, because people would be copying video cassettes and making home copies and trading movies. Well, quick dissolve, and the home video aspect is the elite's biggest revenue producer. So now they want to use the same argument for the internet. They use the same argument. Ooh, piracy and porno. You know, oh my God. Well, we have one of our founding fathers in the United States, Thomas Jefferson, said that free speech, when you have free speech, you're going to have a few bad things come along with it. You'll have, some porno. Well, you know, you can either have that or you can live in Saudi Arabia. Don't let women drive. You know, the point is, the internet is a great, great hope for art and commerce all over the world, and the bad guys know it, and they're going to use the same stupid arguments, porno and piracy, to get rid of it. A little piracy helps trauma, believe me.
Well,
it helps us.
Yeah.
It's our advertising campaign.
How is the Netflix?
Sorry to cut you off. It's 12:37, I think.
Okay, we won't take a break and go
break.
On with the questions.
Yeah, yeah. I think we went over a little half an hour, but Lloyd, I think you were on a roll. So.
I'm sorry, I wasn't just on a roll. I was on a bagel and a grinder and a submarine.
Yeah.
I think we have.
I think people need to hear this stuff.
Yeah.
You guys are so polite.
I have to be honest.
I'm sorry.
I feel really depressed about it.
No, you shouldn't. The new technology. See, there's a lot of hope because everyone can make a movie. You don't have to have money anymore. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I think, you know, as far as with all this movies out there, independent movies, it would be hard to be seen, you know. But
yes, that's the problem.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about Netflix, and because that one is a pay-for service. So I'm wondering, I mean, is it hard to get your movies onto Netflix?
But they're going, they're moving in the direction of top 20. They're moving away from the long tail to the top 20 tail. They also pay very little, and they also... they're proud of that. In fact, there was a big article in our financial newspaper called Barron's, where Netflix is bragging about, we make kabillions and kabillions of dollars, and we only had to pay 10 cents for all the content that we've shown this year. And unfortunately, that is true. They also, they have a streaming service where they, you can buy... a download, or you can get a streamed movie immediately, and you don't have to wait for the mail. And
yeah,
those, there are a lot of movies they're not buying. They're not playing everything. They should, but they're not. So we need the internet so that we don't have to rely on Netflix, and we all need the level playing field of the current internet, which is governed by net neutrality, so everybody has equal opportunity on the internet. That's the way it is now, and that's the big hope. That is the only reason why Troma's website gets about 500,000 people poking around on it every month, out of which a number of them buy our stuff. And if the quality of service for Troma goes down to the quality of public access television or the dirt road, and if the big time mainstream television and the big $100 million movies have a superhighway, the public will naturally just go to the superhighway and take the baby food. We already have that in television. We have a couple of companies that control 500 stations, and at least in our country we have something We have NBC, which is owned by Universal and General Electric. And then there's CNBC, and they take the pieces of NBC shows and reformulate them. And then there's MSNBC, which is owned by NBC and Universal and General Electric. And so you can have 500 channels, but they're all playing kind of the same stuff. So we need to keep the internet free and open. And if you go on YouTube, I've made a couple of public service announcements. If you type in Lloyd Kaufman and media consolidation, or Lloyd Kaufman and net neutrality, I've made some public service announcements to try to appeal to. You know, they're humorous, so they're entertaining because it's a rather dry, boring subject. So I've tried to make it kind of amusing, so young people will understand it and perhaps contact their elected officials and make sure that they tell their elected officials that if they want to keep stealing, they're going to have, they need to be elected, and we're not going to elect them if they let net neutrality die.
Well, thank you for telling us about this. I had no clue, to be honest with you. I probably could have found out if I had looked into it, but
How much progress do you think they're making on abolishing net neutrality?
They're making a lot of progress. A judge just said that our Federal Communications Commission, the government agency that wants to keep net neutrality, our government says that the FCC doesn't have the right to enforce it, and that only if Congress makes laws enforcing it. And then last week, our biggest phone company and Google have made an agreement that they're going to have different. They're going to have a superhighway for the rich and elite and crappy service for, and well, not, you know, they didn't use the word crappy, but you know that's what's going to happen. So that's already, the first step has been taken, and it's going to keep going, and unless the public gets Congress to pass laws, at least in our country. Now, I don't know what it's like in other countries. I don't think China's got a very free and open system, I don't know what's going on in other countries. But the greatest source of information right now is the internet, and at least in our country. And if they get rid of it, we're screwed. We're going to be real. It's going to be 1980. It really is going to be Brave New World, or 1984, or whatever you want to call it.